In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, we see things that we are to grow in continually as children of God. And there's a list here that challenges every one of us, and amongst this list is the word knowledge. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5 and reading through verse 9, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Certainly, the word knowledge is emphasized in the first part of this second epistle that Peter wrote. Three times in the verses I just read, we find this word knowledge. And it's even used before I started reading in verse 5. If you go back to verse 2, the second verse in this letter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And if you look at the last verse in this short letter, chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." The Greek that is translated here as knowledge is gnosis, and it means an awareness, an understanding, really, of something. A word that uses as a root this word gnosis, that's translated from the Greek to English as knowledge, is the word Gnosticism. And Gnosticism is false teaching that became prevalent in the 1st and 2nd century A.D., and they believed not that we're saved by faith and obedience, but that we are saved by acquiring some gnosis that has to do with a secret and mystical type of knowledge. It's false teaching. But what we're talking about here in 2 Peter chapter 1, that's used several times throughout this letter, is, I don't believe, speaking of the initial knowledge per se that produces faith and brings a person to Christ, even though that is key. You know, if somebody wants to be baptized, they need to have a knowledge. They need to understand what they're doing. But I think what Peter is speaking of here, obviously in the context, and it bears this out, that is a continued spiritual education that produces maturity in the child of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul wrote, "Till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man," or a mature man, "to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." This knowledge is talking about an ongoing spiritual education, continual education. More and more knowledge we should be desiring to acquire from God, as a newborn baby desires milk. And you know they desire milk. They have a strong desire for that milk. They're not satisfied until they get that milk. And guess what? Then later they'll need more milk. And that's the way we need to feel about acquiring knowledge of the Word of God. In fact, in 1 Peter, the first letter he wrote, in the second chapter, in the second verse, he said, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." We need to desire to know and understand more and more about the Word of God. The Hebrew Christians in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, they are rebuked by the writer of that inspired letter. Could have been Paul, but we know it's from God. They should have been able to handle the meatier subjects that Paul could write about, but they had not grown to that point. They were not able to partake of it. They were not ready for it. They could not digest that at this time. Because it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, that for by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do we have that desire to know more and more about the Word of God? To be able to rightly divide the Word of God? To be approved of God as a workman who need not be ashamed? Do we have that desire to be skilled in the word of righteousness? Who by reason of use we've had our senses exercised to discern, to be able to distinguish, to tell the difference between what is good and what is evil. We live by God's standard and not the world's standard. The continual acquisition of knowledge, I believe the Bible itself teaches us, is vital for the growth, the spiritual well-being of the child of God. It should satisfy, and it will, if we're desiring the right thing, the truth from the Word of God, it will satisfy our spiritual appetites and make us fruitful in service to the King. Did you notice in the text here in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 8, it says, for if these things are yours and abound, and that includes knowledge, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How important it is to God that we grow in these things so we will not be barren nor unfruitful. We should all desire to bear fruit for God's glory, for His praise, so the world can recognize who He is. And if we truly have a desire, as we should, for knowledge about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, about God and His plan and the theme of the Bible, and are able to answer people's questions about what they need to do to be saved, we can do that. With skill, because we have a good knowledge of the Word of God, we should always be desiring more. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Paul is writing to the one he considers to be his son in the faith, and he says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Nourished by the Word of God. Nourished by the Word of faith. We need to have the attitude of Ezra of old in Ezra chapter 7 verse 10. And I love this verse. It says that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. That should be said for each of us today, that we are preparing our hearts to seek the gospel message, to live as we should, holy lives before God and the world, and to be able to teach others what the Word of God says. I want us to think about very quickly knowledge. Three questions I want us to address. Number one, what is the source of saving knowledge? Where do we go to find out what we need to do to have that heavenly home we've been singing about and thinking about? I hope that home in heaven with God. How do we get from here to there? How do we get to be rewarded by God and have a home with Him in heaven? Well, God's word is the source of it, and we know that. God teaches man knowledge. In Psalm 94, verses 10 and 11, the psalmist writes in Psalm 94, verses 10 and 11, that God instructs the nations. Did you hear that? God instructs the nations, he who teaches man knowledge. It's so important that we know that the source is God for true knowledge, for knowledge that matters. And Brother Gordon read from Psalm 119, verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Now, whoever wrote this long psalm, Psalm 119, I think it's got 176 verses, something like that. Whoever wrote it had a great love for the Word of God, and we need to have that love for the Word of God and realize that the source for true knowledge, knowledge that will teach us how to be saved, is from God. It's found in His Word. God's Word is able to make us wise to salvation. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, you know the last two verses of that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. But back up to the verse just before that. Verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation. And he's reminding Timothy that you were taught these things from your childhood. And what valuable teaching he received from his grandmother and mother. Grandmother Lois, mother Eunice, we see earlier in the opening chapter of this same letter that they had told him the Scriptures. They're able to make us wise to salvation. That is where we go. We don't go to any man or any creed looking for the answer for what we need to do to be saved. We go to the Word of God, and you'll find it. That's where the answer is. That's what God has instructed us to do. So it is in our best interest to know what it says, book, chapter, and verse, and be sure that we are doing what we need to do to be saved and continue to do as we live as children of God. The second question I want us to think about is, what is the right attitude toward knowledge? What should our attitude toward knowledge be? If we ever feel like, well, I've been studying the Bible all my life and I know everything that I need to know about it, that's the wrong attitude. We should never feel that way. In fact, the more we study it, we should see the more there is that we don't know. And we need to keep studying and keep acquiring knowledge from it. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, again it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a continual growth process. Do not be content with what you know. Your level of knowledge might be great, and it might compare well to most everybody here. But don't you be content, and don't you think that you know everything you need to know about it. You continue to study it and read it and reread it. And there are things there you will find out as you study that you didn't know. Be filled with and abound in love and knowledge. In Philippians chapter 1, that opening chapter of the book of Philippians, in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Love needs to be accompanied by knowledge to truly help others and to approve what is excellent. We need to teach the truth in love, it says in Ephesians chapter 4. And we need reminders. Even if we have a real good level of knowledge of Jesus Christ and what the Word of God says, we still need to be reminded time and time again. We need not be forgetful when it comes to the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I've read 18, that last verse, a couple of times already. But the verse right before it, the second to the last verse of 2 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." Do not be forgetful. Study the Word of God. Paul and Peter in their writings, they would say, by way of remembrance. I want you to remember this. You know, we are forgetful creatures. And the older I get, the more forgetful I think I get. Maybe you can relate to that. But we need to be reminded. So that knowledge, we need to be continually seeking that and studying the Word of God and be steadfast in the Word of God. It helps us not to be carried away by false teaching. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." How do we guard ourselves against false teaching and believing a lie? By knowing the truth, by knowing what the Word of God says, by being steadfast in the Word. And don't stop studying the Word until you take your last breath in this life. But finally, the third and last question in this lesson about knowledge is, what is the value of knowledge? And I'm speaking of spiritual knowledge, not carnal knowledge. And I'm impressed with how many things so many people know. So many people know so much about a lot of things, but carnal knowledge is not what's most important. It's spiritual knowledge. Do you enjoy reading? You may or may not. Perhaps you don't. But when it comes to the Word of God, we need to all make the exception and love reading and studying the Word of God and realize what it is and how valuable it is. In Proverbs 23:23, the writer says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." You value that Word of God. Earlier in Psalm 119, before Gordon started reading there, way back in verse 11 of Psalm 119, it talks about treasuring the Word of God in your heart to guard you against sinning against God. It protects you. That's how valuable it is. And this knowledge of the Word of God is better than gold. I think what Gordon read touched on that. And you remember Psalm 19. Psalm 19, David writes in the first six verses how that we can know God exists by just observing His creation. We expect the sun to come up in the morning. We expect the sun to set in the evening. And I'm thankful that we're getting more daylight. I love this. Last night, just thankful for that. It's still daylight. Almost 9 o'clock, still daylight. But just observing creation, we can know God exists. But in verses 7, 8, and 9, it illustrates how the Word of God is how we really know God in an intimate way. And the Word of God is more valuable than gold, yea, than much fine gold, David says. And David had some gold in his day. But he knew something more valuable than that. And it's the Word of God. And he says it's sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And he mentions that we're going to be judged by the Word of God. It's so important that we realize how valuable it is. Proverbs 24 verses 3 and 5, that wisdom and knowledge will make us stronger. It will keep us from destruction. In Isaiah 5 and verse 13, the prophet of old writes, "Therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." Knowledge is so important. A knowledge of what matters, the Word of God. In Ephesians 5 verses 9 and 10, Paul writes that in the truth, he says, we are able to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. We are able to discover and prove what is truly pleasing to God. God has revealed to us, and I'm so thankful for this, of what we need to do to please Him and to be saved. It's no secret. The mystery has been made known. Ephesians 3 talked about that. But here in Ephesians 5 verses 9 and 10, we're able to find out what is acceptable to Him. He's not left it up to us. We're not to guess. He's told us, and we need to follow His pattern. We need to do what He says and respect His Word. It will help us to discern what is good and what is evil. We know the difference. We know what to avoid. We know what we need to cling to. We need to, as Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 says, we need to let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, and cling to what is good. We need to have God's attitude towards sin and God's attitude towards goodness. Knowledge is vital to our spiritual lives. Without some knowledge, we cannot be saved, because we have to know and appreciate what God has done for us, and we have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to have knowledge of that. We don't have to be Bible scholars, but we need to know that and know the commitment that we're making when we become a child of God, repent of our sins, confess that we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized into Him. But I want to leave you with this thought and go back to 2 Peter. Perhaps you're still there. You know, we've been looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9 in particular. And it talks about how if these things are in us and abound, we will never fall. We will never lose our salvation. But it's an if there, and it's up to us to be sure that we are abounding in all of these, knowledge included. But I want you to go this time to chapter 2 of 2 Peter. And let's pick up reading in verse 18 of 2 Peter chapter 2. For when we speak great swelling words of emptiness and allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better. Now that's an attention getter. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having washed to the wallowing in the mire. If we know about Jesus Christ, and obeyed and escaped the pollutions of this world, and we're again entangled in the world, and we turn our back on the Lord, and we go back into the world, it would have been better. This is from the Word of God. God breathed by inspiration through the Apostle Peter. It would have been better for us to never have known that. Don't lose your salvation if you're already a child of God. Be thankful to be a part of God's family and what that means to be adopted by Him. And you hang on and you don't allow yourself to be distracted by false teaching. and worldliness, you overcome it, and you keep gaining as much knowledge about the Lord as you possibly can. If you need to become a child of God this morning, or you need to repent of your sins, won't you come forward making your needs known while together we stand and sing.